take your Bible. I want to give you some things that God has given me in the last few days. So I want you to kind of turn quickly through your Bible and kind of keep up with me tonight as I try to relate to you some things that God has laid on my heart. 1 Samuel is where we're going to start out. And as you're turning there, let me just tell for those of you that have not heard everything that transpired last week. You know, we were on this post-homecoming high. We had, I think, one of the best homecomings we've ever had. It was just such a blessing. God just did some great things. And just the number of people that was here and everything like that. By the way, we've already got Southern Rays booked for next year. Amen. So they'll be with us again next year for 2 days. And so be praying for them. But anyway, if you remember that Sunday morning, I had everybody pray for me and pray that God will bless that trip. And so anyway, we got up the next day and we had everything ready. I mean, I'd had the idea of video recording the messages that I preached and Brother Mike Hutzel preached along with the translator so that we would have some video discs to give to the pastors. We had them already printed up and they were already out in Kenya, and all we had to do was just run the video and audio feed into a little DVD recorder that I had. And have the disc done by the end of the day, and within just a few minutes, we would have 50 DVDs for those pastors of every session that we had with the Swahili translation. And I had all that stuff packed in my suitcases. I had my microphones, my camera, I had my little plug-ins. I mean, I thought this through, and I had everything ready. And we got to the airport, and didn't expect any problem at all. Went to the little, they have you go to these kiosks now, and you put your credit card in, and that pulls up the itinerary, and wanted to scan our passports, so we scanned our passports, and that was all fine. It printed out our boarding passes, and we had all our boarding passes in hand. We get over to the Delta Airlines desk, and the lady there, she was very helpful with us, and she was very sympathetic to us, but when she took our passports and was looking at it and running them through, I guess it flagged them or something like that. The children's passports, which was Caleb's and Michaela's, Jaden didn't need one. They came up and she told us, she said, "You guys, you can't take these kids out of the country." What? The expiration date was not until October. Now, on my driver's license, it has an expiration date. My driver's license is good until the day after the expiration date. It's how we think. But there's a law that says, especially on children, you've got to have them renewed 6 months before the expiration date. And I said, how in the world are we supposed to know that? You know, 40 billion laws we have in this country, and there was one law that canceled that entire trip. Because once we realized the children were not going to make it past Detroit, which was our connecting flight, then we tried to get her to work with us about, you know, is there a way we can get this done today? No, there wasn't a way we'd get it done today. Can we go somewhere in this country and get this done? And the date that we were given was a week away from that particular day, which would have been no good. But anyway, it was just one confusing thing after another. Lisa's in tears, Alicia's in tears. And Alicia tells me, "Dad, you go. You can still go." And I've given a lot of thought to this. I've talked to the Lord about it. I've given a lot. You remember what I went through last year. I remember what I went through last year, what I went through back in 2011. And I wanted my wife there. I needed my wife there. And I told Lisa the other day, I said, "You know, I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling guilty now for not going. But I would have felt guilty for leaving you and Alicia stranded at the airport and me running off to Kenya. So which guilt do I deal with?" And I chose to deal with not going rather than leaving my wife and my daughter there and all of that group. And so that effectively just cut it out. And so I just, you know, and I'll tell you something else that happened too. When we left the airport, I don't remember what all we did. After we left there, we had Alicia or Lindsay and Courtney come up and pick us all up and bring us back to the church. We threw our stuff in the back of our van and we were just driving around town. And it dawned on me, just like that. And I mean, it made me mad. I hit the steering wheel with my hand. And Lisa said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I just realized that we sent money over there to Kenya to bring pastors from where our radio station is down to that meeting to meet me. Michael told me they were waiting at the airport for me to get off the plane. They had gifts in their hand for me." And that made me mad because I couldn't be there for them. And I'm going to tell you something. Had I had that thought in the airport, I'd have got on a plane. I would have got on a plane and I would have went to Kenya. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But God withheld that from me. And God does that. If you don't know that, God does that. He will withhold things from you. He'll give you things in time, but He will not tell you everything all at once. And God withheld that. I have no doubt in my mind about it. God withheld that thought from me because had I thought that, I'd have got on the plane. So I've been just dealing with, God, why did you do this? Why did it come out this way? Why was I not supposed to go? Why was I not allowed? I can tell you the devil has withstood that whole meeting. The Bibles are still not there. 3,000 Bibles that were bought and paid for and shipped. They're sitting in somewhere in South Africa and they are not where they're supposed to be. That's very discouraging. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take a doctor of theology to figure out the devil hates the written word of God. He hates that book. And I know for a fact that our adversary is withholding those Bibles where they are. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Then the Bible's not being there. We knew about that before we left. Then all of a sudden, now I'm not going to be there. And Mike Hutzel's out there by himself, and I called him and told him what was going on, and he was going to continue the meeting when he got out there. They got hindered one day. They left. Usually it takes about an hour from where they were staying to get to where the meeting place was. And one morning, they were stuck in traffic for about 4 hours, not allowed to get out there. So it's just been, you know, when you put all that together, you can see how the devil's working. You can see what's going on there. And, you know, we say all things work together for good. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. And it's hard for us as believers, those who are relying upon faith, to trust God to wait and see what that good thing is. It's hard for us to get from where we are, where we don't understand, to the place where we do understand and we see God do the good things. But He didn't say everything that happens is good. He says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And so anyway, I've been talking to the Lord and been praying about it and everything like that. And I'm big, if, I don't know if you know me or not, I'm big on God's providence. God, if it happens, God did it. If it didn't happen, God didn't do it. Amen? That's just what I believe. And I think that's what the Bible bears out. Paul talks about, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in every place. So I guarantee you could stand and tell me stories tonight of situations you've been in where you were a complete and utter failure before God. I guarantee you, you've got those stories. But God said that He was conquering things. He was giving you the victory through those things. And that's just what I believe. And I just believe the Word of God. Let me read this out of 1 Samuel. You remember Hannah, she wanted to have a baby. And she was there praying before the house of the Lord. And she says, she prays there in verse 16, verse 17, Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. All she had, Eli represents the Bible. That's who Eli is. Anytime a man stands up and he's going to give you the word of the Lord in the Bible, that's a picture of your Bible that you hold in your hand. And here is Hannah, and she gives her complaint to the Lord. "God, I want to have a baby. God, I want to have a baby. What's wrong with me wanting to have a baby?" And all of a sudden now, the Bible tells her, God's going to bless you. God's going to give you this thing. And immediately she believes it, and her countenance is fine. She's not in sorrow anymore. She just believes what God said. She doesn't see it yet, but she believes it. And so God blessed her, and you've heard me say this. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. You've heard me say this before, but I think it bears repeating. It's one of those things that I need to remember a lot. I need to think on these things, as Paul said in Philippians. And a lot of times I just need to be reminded myself of foundational principles in the Bible. You've heard me say before that to a son of God, a child of God, you are a child of God in that God has given you a new birth, and He's given you a new nature, He's given you a new spirit, and we are sons of God, but it's not been manifested yet what we're going to appear like. But we have already been considered and given the title of sons of God. Jesus taught us the parable. He said, which one of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for something nice, would you give him something bad? And Jesus said, you being evil, give your children good things. How much more your heavenly Father gives you good things? God's not evil. Amen. We're evil. I mean, we're dads. We can get mean sometimes. Amen. Oh, you want a fish, huh? Well, here's a snake. You know, that's what we want to do. But we give our children good things. Why do we do that? Do they deserve it? No, they're children. They're rotten and mean and evil. We give it to them because we love them. We give it to them because without us, they wouldn't get it. Amen? Without us as mom and dad, they wouldn't get it. So that's why we do it. And God is way, way, way better than us. So I teach and believe strongly in, if you're a child of God and you ask God for something, He will not tell you no. Never will. He will either give you what you ask or He will give you something better. But He will never tell you no. That's how good God is. So I'm trying to tell myself in my mind that God has not told me no on going to Kenya. Okay? He's not told me no. It's something, He's either going to give me what I ask for or something better. Let me show you that in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now I want you to consider the three types of sin that you and I can be guilty of. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, it's verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I want you to consider the three types of sin that you and I can be guilty of. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I don't like pride in me. I can get full of pride. I think all of us can. We can get proud about us being saved. We can get proud. We can get religiously proud about who we are and what we don't do anymore. We can just get loaded with all kinds of pride. And Paul knew himself. He knew that when he was under the teaching of Gamaliel, Paul was a zealot for the law. Paul was loaded with Jewish zealot pride. He was on his way to arrest the Christians. He was the good boy doing the will of God, going to kill all the Christians. And God broke him down. And then God spent 14 years delivering to Paul understandings of mysteries that were in the Old Testament that no man had ever really understood before, and yet here they are coming to one man, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul writes a majority of what's in your New Testament. He writes those wonderful foundational doctrines that you and I stand on tonight. And Paul knew that he had been given things that nobody else had been given. And the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. And the picture of that is, it just takes a little leaven to do what? To a lump of bread. It puffs it up. You know what that is? It's full of air. It's like eating Rice Krispies thinking you're going to get full on them. Amen? It'd take you probably about 4 boxes of Rice Krispies to have what you would have in 2 slices of bread just about, because they're just nothing but full of air. And Paul said, I'm very cocky, I'm very arrogant, I'm very proud, and because of the revelations given to me, God put a thorn in my flesh. And he said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And I want you to look at that as the devil now withstanding and working against the Apostle Paul. You would think that if anybody had favor with God, if anybody had power with God, if anybody knew how to get a hold of God and pray to God, it would be the Apostle Paul. We usually set Paul as this He was it, man, as far as Christians were concerned, even though Paul referred to himself as the biggest sinner that ever was. He said, God saved sinners of whom I am chief. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says in Romans chapter 7. And so Paul had a messenger of Satan every day to stand against him and every day to buffet him, to beat on him, to work on him and work on his flesh. It was given to him in his flesh. And so he says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. I think that number 3 there represents lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's what I think it represents. We don't notice that you're never given or told what that thorn was in Paul. You know why? Because God wants you to know that it has a multitude of applications. Your thorn, Sister Diane, is not mine. Okay? And mine is not yours. And I think it's different with just about everybody here, everybody listening. I think it's different with everybody. What is a thorn to some people is really not an issue with others. They just don't have to deal with that. But they do have to deal with things. And I've convinced that if you are a born again child of God and you love the Lord and you love this Bible and you're ready to go to heaven, I think God gives you a thorn, and I think he gives it to you for one reason. I think that is to keep you humble and keep you on your knees. Okay? If I get to go to Kenya, then it's because I'm serving the Lord and I'm the gifted man of God that's going to go teach all the savages the right ways of God. That's stuff that rolls around in us preachers' minds. It's hard to get that out of there. So God gives us preachers thorns, things that we have to deal with, issues that we have to deal with, things that we just run through our mind all the time. And God gives preachers those things to deal with to keep them on their knees, to keep them humble. So here is the almighty, powerful Mike Hoggard, who's ready to go preach to the Kenyans, and one little stinking law won't let him get on a plane. That's what God did. And so that's just what I've been mindful of. And so Paul said he asked the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's God saying, I'm not going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you something better than what you asked for. I'm going to give you grace. And I want to tell you something. Don't put grace down. Grace is the most powerful thing that operates in the universe, in the creation. The grace of Almighty God is why you're here in church tonight. Grace of Almighty God is why you made it through this many years of your life. The grace of Almighty God, Dickie Wayne Snyder, bless his heart, the grace of Almighty God is what preserved him from being burned up in his own car after that truck hit him. Amen? Now he's banged up and hurting and everything else. Don't know when he's going to get out of the hospital. But bless God, he's got a testimony. Amen? And so he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Study that word in your Bible. Okay? Study that word in your Bible. Infirmity. Infirmities. Priests had infirmities. When people would bring sacrifices to priests, priests would then offer a sacrifice for themselves first, for their own sins. You know why God had it that way? Listen to me. God doesn't make the clergy any different than the laity. He does not give us a super body that never wants to do anything wrong and never sins and never makes any mistakes. He does not do that with those who are in the ministry. They are just like everybody else. Now, I know a lot of guys that try to make everybody think that they're better than they are, and they're wrong. Don't believe that. Whenever I hear, and I hear it a lot, whenever I hear guys bragging from the pulpit about how they don't do this and how they don't do that and how good they are and they raise their kids this way and all this stuff, when I hear that stuff, I just want to go out and puke somewhere, because they're not really telling you what they do. They're not really telling you what their weakness is. They're not telling you what they've had to battle. They're not telling you what they had to go to God and repent over. They're not going to tell you those things. But anyway, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So I asked God, God, I want to go to Kenya. I did not make the decision to go to Kenya, even though the plans were made. I did not make the decision. I was wrestling with it until the Supreme Court did this deal on gay marriage. And it made me mad. I was mad that morning. I was angry. I talked to Mike Hutzel. I called him later that day. I said, Mike, I'm in. I said, I'm just now in. And you heard me talk about this. I said, if America's not going to hear the gospel, I'm going to go somewhere and preach it where they will. And they are starving to death over there. And that nation has told Obama twice now, you take your sodomite stuff back to America with you and let it burn. We're here in Kenya and we don't put up with that stuff. Amen. I tell you what, God's going to exalt that nation and bless them. But anyway, that's just kind of where my mind's been. But then Lisa and I, we sat at home Monday night saying, we're going to go somewhere. Where are we going to go, dear? I don't know. You want to go to Hawaii? Yeah, let's go to Hawaii. No, it costs too much. No, we don't have any plans made. No, we have to do this. So I said, why don't we just get in the car and go tomorrow? Go on a little road trip. We had talked to this family I mentioned earlier, Jessica and her husband. What's his name? Tyler. I tried to think of that earlier today, couldn't think of it. Anyway, I told him at homecoming, I said, you know, we might come down here and visit you. Lisa and I are talking about going to Hot Springs sometime. Well, we got up Tuesday morning and I said, we're going to Memphis. I said, the biggest, what's the name of that store? Bass Pro Shop in the world is in Memphis, Tennessee. It's in the big giant pyramid. I always wanted to go in there and see what was in there. Well, there's fishing lures in there, amen, and guns and decoys. And we got, I don't get into all that. We found a good sale and bought some stuff. But anyway, we just went on down the road. And we were just trying to put this thing behind us. But there in Memphis that night, I'm laying there in a hotel room. And I'm saying, God, why am I here? And not on that plane. Why is this going on this way? And I had a word come to me, and it was the word hinder. So I went and looked it up. Let me just run through some verses for you. I talked about this today during the online show, but I just wanted to share it with my church tonight. If you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 10, and the angel finally came to him. He said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. This is Daniel 10:11. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And he said, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. So anyway, here's Daniel praying, and he sets himself, and he is fasting, he's praying, he is chastening himself in prayer, and from the moment he begins to pray, God dispatches an angel to go and deliver a message to him. But the angel is withstood and held back by what the Bible calls the prince of the people of Persia. Now this is not a man. This was a devil. This was a principality. One of the things that you and I are told we wrestle with. We wrestle against principalities. And that's who this was that withstood this angel. And this principality, this prince of the kingdom of Persia, was so powerful that he was able to hold this angel off for 21 days. Finally, Michael, the chief archangel, the one who's going to fight the devil in Revelation 12, showed up and helped this angel get through. And you have to ask yourself the question, why did God allow it to be this way? Is not God more powerful than the prince of the kingdom of Persia? Of course he is. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God had a purpose for it. I'm not sure that I understand it, but God had a purpose in allowing this principality to stand against and hinder the answer to Daniel's prayers. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Paul said this, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And he said, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. And I read that. I just looked up the word hindering in the Bible. And I read that verse and I said, God, that's it right there. I wanted to go to that place where they don't always get the good Bible teachings out in some of those villages out there. God, I wanted to go there and share with them some good and some wonderful things from the Word of God. And that's what I wanted to do. My heart was right before the Lord. It's not that I had bad intentions. It's not like I went over there and was hoping to be the Pope. It's not that I went over there because they were going to pay me a ton of money. We have to pay for everything. We have to feed the pastors and the people that show up. Okay? That's how it has to be done. So it wasn't anything that I was going to get out of it, why I wanted to go. It's just I wanted to go and I wanted to teach those people because I knew they had a heart to learn. I learned that last year. But Paul said, for which cause also I've been much hindered from coming to you. There was something that was standing in Paul's way and would not let him come. He probably tried many times and something kept coming up. You probably have experienced that. Maybe God laid it on your heart to pray one day, and God said, you need to pray. And all of a sudden, the phone rang. And then the bulletin came over the news. And then the dog scratching at the door, or this, or the kids. Mommy, I need help. Mommy, he did this. Daddy, he did this. And there's one thing after another that's keeping you from praying. And here God's telling you, pray, 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 pray. And you might ask yourself, why didn't God just move everything out of the way so I can pray? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that I do know. God gives freely. Amen? But there's some things. It's just like when we raise our children. We could give them nice things without taking out the trash and doing the dishes. What does that teach them? Nothing. Because they're going to have to grow up into a world that's not going to give them anything. Unless they vote Democrat. Okay? Just kidding. They're going to grow up in a world that they're going to have to work for things. And you and I both know, our grandparents taught us this. Our grandparents went through the Depression. And our grandparents taught us, when you have to work 10, 12 hours a day for 30 cents, you don't drop a penny on the ground and walk off and leave it. When you've got four kernels of corn left over in a bowl, that goes in the ice box, and you save that for the next day. That's how my meemaw served lunch every day. Whatever was left from supper the night before came out the next day. That was our lunch. Didn't throw it away. I don't care if it was four green beans. That was not thrown away. You know why? She lived in a time when if you didn't have them four green beans, you didn't have nothing. And I think God will make it hard on us and allow Satan to hinder us to teach us. Fight. If you work for it, you'll treasure it better. Amen? We're supposed to be teaching that to our children. It's hard to do in this day and age. But that's what we're supposed to be teaching them. And God's trying to teach us that. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Paul's talking about the Jews in verse 14 and 15. He said, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, and he's going to say it word for word. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And Sterling, I'm sitting here looking at this in that hotel room, Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm going, who am I? If Satan could hinder the Apostle Paul, who in the world am I? Why should I have it better than Paul did? And that's when God kind of gave me a little grace, and so I kind of settled down a little bit. So I knew Satan was hindering. Satan is holding up those Bibles down in South Africa. No doubt in my mind about it. And he said in Galatians, well, let me read this. Let's see here. Ecclesiastes 4:12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's that number three again. Watch this now. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's a threefold cord, and it's not easily broken. Can I hear you say amen? It's not easily broken. Those are things that will stand against us and withhold us from doing the things that you and I want to do for the work of the Lord. Our hearts are right with God. We want to serve God. We want to preach the gospel. We want to see people saved. We want to see God's people blessed. We want to be a blessing in this world to other people. Threefold cord will hold us back every single time. He said it's not easily broken. He did not say that it could not be broken. Amen? And I know a mighty man of God who came to break all the bands and set God's people free. Amen? That's what I believe in. And then you turn to Acts chapter 13. And I'm just sharing my heart with you tonight. Acts chapter 13, we have a false prophet, a Jew. He's a sorcerer. He practices witchcraft. And I'm telling you, there's an abundance of witchcraft that is being performed in churches all over this country, all over the world. I've seen it out in Kenya. I've seen it here in America. I've seen it in other places. There's an abundance of witchcraft being performed. Say, what are you getting at? What are you talking about, witchcraft? They casting spells? Almost. They're just almost side by side with them. Anybody that's telling everybody, you didn't get this from God because you didn't say the right words, and you didn't pray the right kind of prayer, and you didn't name this and claim it, and you don't have enough faith, and this and that and the other, that's in essence, that's witchcraft. That's telling people that it's up to them to perform to get the blessings, when the New Testament tells us, and the Old Testament tells us too, but the Bible tells us there's no way in the world you can perform enough to get God on your happy side. God doesn't do it that way. God knows that you fail at everything. You stink. Amen? You stink at life. So He sent His Son, who is the only one who didn't fail. He's the only one who succeeded. He's the only one who kept the law of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I pondered that verse for years, and I'm going, boy, I hope to get to that one of these days. Never have. I don't ponder God's word day and night. Christ did. He's the one who gets the blessing. Us being in Christ, we are the recipients of that blessing, not by us, but by Christ. You understand that? Anything else that replaces that is works-based, and it's witchcraft. And I'm telling you, witchcraft serves one purpose in a church, and that is to stand against the real gospel of salvation and blessing by grace through belief. Amen? So here's this man. He stands against, he's a sorcerer. And he says, he was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, that's verse 7, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You see it right there. I just said it, and there it is right there in the Word of God. His sole purpose was to keep Sergius Paulus from hearing the gospel. Because once he heard the gospel, it's over. If he hears the gospel, he's going to ask Jesus to come in his heart. He's going to ask God to save him. He's going to call on the name of the Lord. And this man's going to serve the Lord all the days of his life. And his role and function in this world is to stand against the preaching of the gospel. And he knew Saul and Barnabas had it. He knew it. So he's going to stand against it. He's going to... And here Paul got a little attitude. I like when people get attitude in the Bible. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And said, all full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. 2 Timothy 3 talks about Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. If you remember, they got out there in the wilderness, and some of them fellows raised up a fuss, and they said, hey, Moses, we're turning around and going back, and you can't stop us. Remember what Moses did? He said, well, we'll find out God's will here in a little bit. If nothing happens in the next 5 minutes, I guess you guys are right. But if something like, oh, I don't know, the earth opening her mouth and swallowing you up whole, if that happens, then it's obvious that God's on my side and not yours. And they said, well, you've got it to do then. And they were gone just like that. And everybody else is going, yeah, Moses, we're on your side, buddy. Amen. Was all along. Okay? But they withstood Moses. God allowed them to be raised up to withstand Moses to keep all of God's people from going into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're going to have Satan stand against you. And if he doesn't, I think you and God need to have a very serious talk about whose side you're on. Okay? So, you know, in a way, it's this thing happening, it's not unusual for it to happen to someone who loves the Lord and wants to serve God. And that could be you just as easily as it could be me. And I'm going to confess sins tonight, okay? Every time Brenda Hutzel would post pictures on Facebook, I'd get jealous. Lisa's shaking her head. She would too. Lord, we should have been out there. We should be in those pictures. How come we're not? How come you let them do it? How come? And I'm going to tell you something. Jealousy is the worst kind of poison that can enter into a person's mind. Okay? I'm rejoicing because I know Mike and I know his ministry and I know what comes out of his mouth. I'm rejoicing that God allowed Mike Hutzel to go over there and preach to those people. That's who God wanted over there. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Okay? So I'm just going to get the jealousy out of the way and just live for the Lord. So here, I want you to help me pray about something. You know, Lisa and I, we just been talking. Okay? When we going back? And I told her, I said, God stopped me from going this time. What does that mean? I don't know. I said, but before we go or even think to go the next time, I'm going to have it written, big neon lights somewhere. I don't even know the fleece to ask the Lord to lay out. So I want you to help me pray about that and pray about the timing and pray about if or when and what we're going to do and things like that. All kinds of possibilities there. And I'll tell you another very quick story here about how God worked. God's pretty good. I got a phone call from a lady today. I'm glad I got the chance to talk to her. Having the tickets refunded, they said, yeah, we can refund the tickets. Okay, those are pretty expensive. They're about $1,500 a piece. She said, but it's going to cost you $350 per ticket to have that refunded. And I'm sitting there going, man, we're going to have to eat $1,200. Okay. At that time, a lady called here at the church and said, God just told me to donate for this Kenya deal $1,000. I'm not making that up. She called after the Pastor Mike online. And we talked about it. I said, I don't look at who donates what. I said, so this is kind of new to me, but I guarantee you there's four other people that donated $50 somewhere in that weekend or whatever. And God's just good that way. So that helped me. That helped me to hear that, you know, that God was working that way, because I was concerned about losing the money. And God, you know, why do that? But anyway, God's good. God's blessed this church far better than this church deserves. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. You have people coming here from Virginia to come here to just sit with you people. Okay? That's a blessing. People from Michigan. People come up from Florida. Okay? Wisconsin. People show up at our doorstep. Minnesotans. All these people that come for home, Rose said we probably had about 156 here one time or another last weekend for homecoming. All the people that watch out in Kenya, all the people that listen in online, that's something God's just way beyond our doing. So I trust God, and I know you do as a church, and so I want you to just pray with me that if I'm to go, I go. And if I'm not to go, I know it, and don't go, and God gives us something better. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. Let's stand to our feet. I appreciate you listening to me tonight. That's where my heart is. And just let that be a blessing to you, because you'll think that you've got it all, the easy way to serve God, and I guarantee you the devil's going to come stand in your way, and God's going to let him do it. And you're going to have to learn how to deal with that with God's grace alone. Amen? God's grace alone.